This week has seen a near miss in renewed hostilities between the State of Israel and the Palestinian Authority. It comes at a critical time, 5 years after the start of the Intifada of 2000. The High Holy Days are approaching, and it always seems to bring interesting developments in this part of the world. You're listening to Longitude. It's Thursday, September 29th, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. Some say that two doomsdays were averted this past week as a result of actions in Israel, between Israel, the State of Israel, and the Palestinian Authority. There was a threat to a return to an all-out intifada by the Palestinian militant factions, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, after some heavy fighting took place between them and the Israeli army. It was averted, fortunately, when both Palestinian groups, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, announced this past Tuesday that they would return to a ceasefire that had been brokered earlier this year. The day before, the threat of a fatal split in Israel's ruling Likud party was deferred after the party's central committee voted narrowly not to bring forward the leadership primaries, which will pit current Prime Minister Ariel Sharon against his main rival, Benjamin Netanyahu. There is disagreement within the party over the recent Israeli disengagement from the Gaza Strip that concluded last month, and that has torn that party apart. But it seems that now the elections will be held off until next year. Both events, however, demonstrate that there is a triumph of reason over instinct that's taking place. The trigger for the violence that took place in the last few days was an explosion at a Hamas rally in the Gaza Strip last week that killed 21 people. It was a mishandled rocket that went off. It was being carried in the back of a pickup truck, and a lot of kids and people crowded around this truck, and it just suddenly went off without warning, and it was just a very bungled opportunity and job there in the midst of this large crowd that was celebrating the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. The Hamas group, in order to save face, it seems, they called it a work accident, but they immediately launched some missile rockets against the State of Israel in an attempt to probably divert their attention from their own blunder, because they feared a very negative public reaction within their own midst. But Israel, as it had promised to do when they withdrew their settlers and troops from Gaza, they did hit back with renewed force, and they launched more than a dozen airstrikes on Gaza. And that had its intended effect. It did force the militants to withdraw, because they backed down. They announced that they would return to the ceasefire. If the Israeli bombings had continued, they probably would have had a worse reaction against the militants from their own people. So the Israeli aircraft, they launched further missiles at the targets in Gaza. And, of course, that's never a very good thing to see and to hear in that part of the world. Rockets going off and airplanes bombing terrorist targets, whether in Gaza or the West Bank or other locations. But Sharon and his government has experienced a great deal of fierce condemnation from many conservative aspects of the Israeli populace over this withdrawal. They see no sense in it. They see no need for it. They consider that to be their historic land by their own right. But Sharon and the Israeli government felt that this was something that they had to do. Of course, there are other political battles that are going to begin. The Likud primaries will take place sometime between June and November of next year. Sharon now has, it seems, a firm grip upon his own party's interests and loyalties, and in barring any other unforeseen event, that he has that firmly in control. However, there will be some Palestinian Authority elections coming up in the next few months, and this is going to be taking place probably early next year. And it seems very possible that members of the Hamas party, Hamas militant group, could find themselves being elected into the Palestinian government, Palestinian Authority government and parliament. And a likely scenario, a very possible scenario, is that Israel, the state, would find themselves having to negotiate with a Palestinian Authority that is led, or at least very strongly influenced, by a strong faction of Hamas or Islamic Jihad, two groups that have sworn their lifelong enmity to the existence of the State of Israel and have no desire to see that state continue. Israel, for its part, has stated publicly that they do not intend to negotiate with such a government should that ever take place. They're looking to the current leader, Mahmoud Abbas, to show some and demonstrate some courage and some will. They will not negotiate with a Hamas-led Palestinian Authority. This past week, I had an opportunity to attend a open lecture that was given here in Indianapolis by Baruch Binah, who is the Israeli Consul General to the Midwest. He spoke here to a group, and I went this past Monday evening to listen to his explanation for the Israeli situation in Gaza and the pullout there. He explained that Israel had taken a bilateral move when they decided to and announced they would withdraw from Gaza, which they have held since 1967. They look now to the Palestinian Authority to counter with a responsible action that leads the two down the further down the roadmap of peace that was agreed to back in 2002. Minister Birah said that the next move, whatever that move is, must be a bilateral move done with the Palestinian Authority. They look to the Palestinian Authority, first of all, to curb some of the actions of the terror groups such as Hamas. And whether or not the Palestinian Authority has the will to do something like this is questionable. Minister Binah does understand the risks that are involved with such a pullout, but his position, that of his government, led by Prime Minister Sharon, is that this was necessary to get something going, to demonstrate some good faith, some goodwill, and no doubt as well, though this was unspoken, there was a factor of yielding somewhat to world opinion to withdraw from the occupied territory of Gaza and to take certain measures to restore a sovereignty to the Gaza Strip. Israel does look at the Gaza Strip as a sovereign nation under Palestinian authority, under their control, and they will deal with it directly, just as they have done this week with retaliations, if terrorists use it as a base for launching attacks against Israeli settlements and citizens in any other part of the state of Israel. We've seen that this week. Unfortunately, it's quite likely that we're going to see more of that. One hopes that there can be a relative period of calm. Personally, I have an interest in seeing that over the next few weeks because I'm planning next month to take an extended trip to the Middle East, visiting the states of Jordan and Egypt, and an extensive tour throughout Israel. We'll be doing this both with a group and then with another cohort of mine, another colleague, in a private tour of parts of northern Israel and Jerusalem. So you can see I have an interest in seeing a calm and a peace there, and this truce and the ceasefire holding between the Hamas and other groups and their relationship with Israel. I'd like to see that continue over the next few weeks and certainly hope that it does. I remember the 1973 Yom Kippur War that started on what is the Day of Atonement at that time when Egypt launched a surprise attack against Israel. And for the first few days of that war, did score some success before Israel pushed them back. It was 5 years ago, in September of 2000, that the Intifada began there in Jerusalem. It was actually triggered by a visit by Ariel Sharon, who was then out of government, onto the area of the sacred area of the Temple Mount area, where the two Arab mosques are there in Jerusalem, that very sensitive area there on the Temple Mount. So it's now been 5 years. Things tend to happen at this time of year because we are approaching the high holy days. Religious tensions seem to mount at that time, and unbeknownst to and unrecognized really by a lot of other people, there are other spiritual factors and forces at work at this time of year as we approach what are the holy days of God, not just the holy days of the Jews or of Israel, but of the holy days of God that he's given to his people. Many people will be there. In fact, that's why I'll be in the Middle East observing the Feast of Tabernacles in Jordan and then taking this extended tour afterwards. So things have happened at this time of year in the past. I hope things remain calm throughout this time and on into the future. One hopes for peace to be brought to that area. The realistic option is not that it is not going to happen until Jesus Christ returns. And we talk more about that in our booklet on the Middle East and prophecy, which, again, if you've not had a chance to listen to or to read, I encourage you to do so. You can obtain a copy of it through our WNP online site, the Middle East and Prophecy, which will help you to understand what lies at the background to the tensions in this part of the world and what's taking place now and why we have the problems that we do. But more importantly, it shows the solutions and where the solution will come for ultimate peace. For Longitude, this is Darris McNeely. Keep listening.